What is going down, everyone? It's time for The Hype, MojoBreak.com, The Hype, episode 163 coming at you. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of things happening in the hobby. We're going to tackle some hot topics, including the Kobe redemption. People that are waiting on Kobe autos. Obviously, the tragic passing happened. Panini had an announcement. We're going to dissect that and go over some reactions. We're also going to talk Illusions football, Luis Roberts, and a few other topics. And what in the funky butt loving are you wearing?
What are you talking about?
That just decided to come to work like that, huh?
Hey, it's cold.
Oh, okay.
So it's cold and it's cold and I tend to drive fast. So
shake and bake, baby.
I just want to celebrate Chase Elliott's championship. What's up? Nice, what do you guys know about that on Sunday? You guys sitting there watching football. I'm watching NASCAR.
Okay. I just thought you maybe got a bunch of sponsors that you're not giving us money for.
It's a good point.
Vaveline, Mountain Dew, Kelly Blue Book.
I think a Mojo Break racing jacket is pretty much where it's at.
Got a Hooters patch, Chevy.
I got Hooters here. I got Mountain Dew. Two things I do love. I love Mountain Dew and I love Hooters.
Or Kelly Blue Book.
Kelly Blue Book's a useful. That's a useful one. And Napa, you know.
Napa
know-how. You know me. I like working on my car. I like wrenching stuff and screwing stuff in and hammering stuff, you know.
Well, our first topic is going to be Illusions football, but I actually want to ask C-Rad, can you name 5 race car drivers? Because I don't know if I can.
Dale Earnhardt. That's an easy one.
Wait. Current. Current.
Junior.
Not current.
Oh, did he retire?
Yeah.
Oh.
Years ago.
Aaron Rodgers' girlfriend.
She retired as well. That's Danica
Chase,
Patrick.
Chase Elliott, which you just said.
Chase Elliott's one.
Ricky Bobby.
That's Ricky Stenhouse Jr.
Ricky, yeah.
Martin Truex.
There you go. There's two.
Bill Elliott's retired. That's his daddy. Dan's daddy. you got Gray Galding. Panini sponsor.
It's Gray.
That's what I said, Gray.
Oh, I thought you said Greg.
No, Gray. Gray Galding. Kevin Newman?
Ryan?
Ryan Newman.
Something Newman,
yeah. Kevin Newman.
That's
pitch
all
for
I know.
The Pirates.
That's all I know, unfortunately.
Well, we had a new release today. Football is quite underway, and it's quite the hot topic amongst the hobby right now while these rookies are performing. And we had a new release today, which is 2020 Illusions. And if you've been breaking or been watching Illusions over the past couple years, it's pretty much the same format. What I like about it most is for a group break format, you got 5 hits. So you do an inner case of 8 boxes, you get 40 hits. So a lot of base, a lot of base parallels. I know you haven't broken any yet, C-Rad, but what are you looking forward to with Illusions football?
In general, you know, like Illusions start off real funny. As we know, that's been breaking it for a few. It started off. They used to give you an encased base card.
Yes,
which
back in the day,
just the idea of like giving you an encased base card is very strange.
That
with
may,
its own packaging,
but that may work now.
True.
Yeah.
It actually would. Yeah. It would probably work better now than it did
when it first came out.
Yeah.
So
because if you got some Joe Burrow like encased uncirculated base card that's short printed. Mm-hmm. Could go for a lot.
Yeah, but then you go to the next step, and then when people like crack them out and like grade them, they're like, this hasn't even been touched by anybody. Why is this not a gem mint 10?
Right.
Get into that whole issue. But in general, yeah, like it's a good product with a lot of hits. You do get – and the good thing is like you get the base of both worlds like we were just saying. You get your hits, and then you do also get – you do get a lot of base cards from the boxes as well. So once they switched that format to where the encased card was actually a hit – I started enjoying the product a lot more. I guess what we were just talking about, even if we went back and the encased card is a base card, I don't know how much I would necessarily enjoy that from this particular product. Now, if they did something like that for Prism,
right.
That might be a different story. But for this product, I like that the encased hit in its own separate bag is a hit. Not just a base
card.
Well,
if you also remember, they used to pair up – every base card used to be paired up with another legend from the team. Well, no, it was the same team, but it would be like – it was some awful pairings. It'd be like – I don't know. Like I can't even think of like how bad some of them were, but it'd be like an old Jets quarterback with a current Jets quarterback. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It'd be like – I mean, Steve Young and like Cody Pickett or something. You know, it was like two pairings, and it didn't work. Now what they've done with that is they've made that a case hit – which I don't think we even hit. If you go to one of the images we have here, you could see the Tua Dan Marino, right? So that's
that's
a case hit now, whether it's before. I think it was the first year it came out, that was like a base card.
Yep.
So now those are super rare to hit, and I don't even think we got one.
I did.
You did? Okay.
I did, but it the mock that you're showing, the mock photo you're showing, it's not numbered. The one I pulled was like numbered to 12.
And was it the Edelman one or
it was Edelman.
Edelman.
It was Randy Moss and Julian Edelman.
Oh, okay.
And it was like numbered to 12 and it had like a weird film on it that I've not seen Panini use before.
I'm from these pictures, because I haven't seen this year's version yet. From these pictures, are they playing with more colors this year in the product?
Because
look at that Joe Burrow. That's like almost like a color.
Yeah, they on those RPAs. Yeah, they have the kind of the color blending in the background. It's still. I mean, the mock actually makes it look more colorful. I think it looks similar to last year, in my opinion.
Okay.
But you're getting a lot of numbered cards. I think you're getting like at least 5 numbered cards along with your hits per box too. So it's a pretty good value, and I like the encase because I think as you break it, you're leaving that for the end, right? And it's like, oh, what do we got? And it's pretty cool. So it'll be interesting to see how collectors take it and see where it finds its place. Because it's kind of like that in-between product, right? It's not chrome.
It's a product that I feel that completely gets looked over. At the end of the year, when we go back and we see every release that was in the category for that specific year, we don't ever talk about illusions. It's kind of in the maybe like certified. I think Phoenix has taken a significant step up. I know we talked about it before, but you look at the secondary market on Phoenix, it's going through the roof.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think Illusions is kind of like that certified, maybe a cheaper version of encased. You still get the encased card, but it's not graded.
Mm-hmm.
But you also get a lot more base parallels and base cards in this. So it might be considered like an encased, but a budget version of encased.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good comparison. Yeah, and I'm actually surprised on how Phoenix is taken off this year, like you mentioned. There's actually a few people in the chat that said that they were in Illusions, but they're like, oh, you know, I want to see more Phoenix. So, you know, they want to see more Phoenix as well.
We tore the inner run on them Phoenix, boy.
Yeah, we got through it. So, some pretty cool stuff. They got a lot of inserts, so we'll see how some of the Brady, some of the Mahomes stuff goes. I think the acetates are kind of confusing because the numbering's on the back. You can't really tell, you know, right away, so you got to flip those things around, and sometimes the colors don't bleed right. We're excited. We got more Illusions today. We're going to have it more throughout the week as well. We probably will have some for personals as well next week.
Mm-hmm.
One of the better values in the hobby, and kind of the little preview for Prism No Huddle is releasing next week.
Very strange.
So Prism No Huddle is, I don't believe there's many silvers in the product, but they do have those disco, I think they're calling them, parallels, one auto. So I don't know why Panini's releasing the No Huddle version of 2020 Prism, and then 2 weeks later is when the hobby comes out. So.
Yeah, that's very strange to me. It's gonna be strange to do a different SKU than the main one first. That rarely ever happens. If anything, they come out on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
But having a different SKU, not the regular hobby coming out first, that's strange.
Well, right now it's a weird week next week for football releases because, like you're saying, you do have No Huddle Prism, but you also have Panini Rookies and Stars.
Oh yeah,
which
that is
also
weird.
Releasing. And am I looking at Immaculate Basketball as well?
Yes, mm-hmm. That's gonna be a big release.
So big Panini release.
Maybe they didn't want to do Immaculate Basketball and Prism Football on the same. I don't know.
But they're doing like two football products that. I mean, I know Prism has gone way up, but it's kind of the same price point.
Yeah, it is.
The secondary market is like driven Prism up through Prism through the roof. But originally, back in the day, Rookies and Stars and Prism were in the same price point.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. There's a couple reasons on why this happened with Prism. I think could be that they didn't finish all of it, but they finished the No Huddle first. So that could be the reason.
Because there's going to be way less cases of No Huddle.
There's going to be a lot less cases. Or if you think about it this way, from a business, from a monetary standpoint, you give people a little taste of it, and then that's going to drive up the price on the hobby cases, which they have
I
more
mean,
of,
I don't.
Right?
could we drive it up any more than it is right now?
Yeah, and then Panini is not necessarily going to be the one that's reaping all of that secondary market price either. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know they're going to come out with some on their website, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they also are probably, I'm assuming they're going to come out with First Off the Line Prism Football. So,
oh, they're absolutely going to.
So they're going to already have the No Huddle that people are seeing, and then they're going to post that First Off the Line Dutch probably, right?
And then there's one more SKU, right, of Prism Football this year that have
been. Is there choice, maybe? There's probably a lot of SKUs, but yeah. The hobby versions. But one thing to keep in mind with the huddle is it's going to have, like basketball, it's going to have one variation rookie per box. Mm. So just like the fast break prism for basketball. So that, you know, you get a Joe Burrow to a one of those, it should be a pretty valuable card. You know, it should be pretty sought after for that as well. So I wanted to move on to Kobe. So basically Panini came out with a, you know, people have been wondering, you know, obviously since the tragic death, rest in peace to the Mamba. They're wondering what's going to happen with their redemptions. There's a lot of redemptions out there. Panini's, Kobe's an Panini exclusive. So they released a statement on yesterday, and I'm sure some of you guys have read this. But I want to read this, and we're going to dissect what this is. It says, to address customers who have Bryant autograph redemptions in the system but will not be receiving them because there are none remaining. Panini America has created special six-card Kobe Bryant redemption packs incorporating five exclusive parallels from the 1920 Mosaic basketball set featuring NBA stars and rookies such as Luka Doncic, Steph Curry, Zion Williamson, John Morant, Tyler Hero, and more. Each featuring purple snakeskin number to 24, purple and gold snakeskin to 20, gold snakeskin number to 8, and black snakeskin 101. The six cards in these packs will be from a new commemorative 40-card Kobe career highlight subset printed on Optichrome, honoring the top moments from his career. The Kobe career highlight set will feature purple base level number to 24, a purple gold parallel number to 20, a gold parallel number to 8, and a black 101 parallel, and a special snakeskin gold version number to 10. So I don't know how they're going to decide on who gets those packs, because obviously it is a backlog. Here's some of the images of a Steph Curry mosaic image, so you can see that as well. I think they look pretty cool. You know, what are your thoughts? Before we go on to what some of the people are saying about this, and I think they are going to still honor some of the redemptions. They're definitely not honoring any of the expired redemptions, but they're going to honor some of the ones that they have. Apparently, they do have some stickers, but they just have an outstanding demand of redemptions where they will not be able to fulfill them. They're going to be fulfilling them with some of these packs. So I wanted to get your guys' thoughts. I'll start with C-Rad here. What do you think about what they've done? Is this good enough? And what do you think about the cards going forward?
I think with what, you know, obviously with Kobe passing, I think this is like a best case scenario, in my opinion. My question is, how are they going to decide all the non-expired redemptions? How are they deciding? Is it like the more valuable sets are people going to get those?
I'm assuming that's what they're going to do.
These secondary mosaic cards, or these mosaic parallels in this set are gonna do very well on the secondary market, because, you know, it's obviously a very special set that not everybody is gonna be receiving. So the packs themselves, if the people that receive them because they had outstanding redemptions, the people that receive them, they could probably, I
think the packs are gonna be somewhere between $8 to $1,000.
Yeah, they're gonna be significant, bro. They're gonna be significant. So that's what I mean. It's like,
well, I mean, put it in perspective, the Optic, I know it's a completely different product, but Optic, the Lucky Pack, those are like $800 and you get two cards,
two,
right?
Two cards, yep.
And those are no autos. They are numbered to 8, but this, you're getting more cards.
More cards.
You're getting a chance at, like, you know,
a very special Kobe.
A special Kobe. And the Kobe,
that's going to be where the value is, I think.
I think the value could be in the Jaws and the Heroes and the Currys and the LeBrons and the
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of value in there, and I think it's going to be like a $1,000 pack. Yep.
To add to it as well, so it says, it's been a difficult and somewhat unprecedented situation in the hobby. Because of many of these outstanding redemptions, they will unfortunately never be signed. For those situations where live Bryant autographs are available, and beginning this week, Panini America will send Bryant autographs to waiting collectors with existing and active redemption cards in the system. Best efforts will be made to honor the exact redemption, but unfortunately there will be instances in which comparable Bryant autographs will be sent instead. In view of these circumstances, expired redemptions are not subject to redemption. For those collectors who entered expired Bryant redemptions cards after the expiration date, they will be given 50% of current Beckett value in Panini reward points.
That's tough.
And I don't know how they basically decide that, right? And it's Beckett value, not eBay value, which I know eBay value fluctuates.
And is it Beckett value of, did they take their cost, what it was costing them to get Kobe autos, or are they using Beckett value?
They said like Beckett value. Beckett, so the Beckett value of a Kobe momentum autograph or whatever, let's say, is $500.
But it's
they're going to give you $250 worth of Panini rewards.
It's tough, though. Is it going to be Beckett value before the passing of Kobe or Beckett value after the passing of Kobe?
Probably in the moment it is now, I would assume.
Yeah. So,
and that could be honestly another reason why they waited.
But the expired redemption itself is from when he was still a product that would have been released when he was still alive.
Yes.
So if they base it on the year that the actual expired redemption is, then it would be the market value at that time and not the current market value.
So, and here's the tricky situation that I'm thinking about right now. So the sticker autos that were redemptions, right? I wonder if they put those, like, so say they had, like, I don't know, let's just say Prism Mosaic, if it was a sticker, which I don't think it is. I'm just using it for example. What if they kept those stickers off until somebody redeemed it and they put the sticker on, right? And they kept the stickers separate. So that might be where, like, they're saying, well, why isn't the 2012 momentum done? Or I think that's on card anyway, but let's say, you know what I mean?
But I also, getting back to like kind of what you're talking about right now, like, say they have hypothetically 400 stickers left over, right? The cards that are not sticker autos and they're on cards, say like an optic or something like that, that would be an on card. They can't necessarily put a sticker on that card.
They may.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that's going to be like, I mean, if I was them and let's just say we had, I don't know, say we were Panini and we had 20,000, I'm just throwing numbers out here, but we had 20,000 Kobe redemptions. Where do you start? Do you start with National Treasures? Do you start going with the high end and you go down?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or how do you prioritize? I mean, that's how I would probably do it. I would start with the most valuable ones to make sure those are fulfilled. And then when you get down to where you can't, then you have to start divvying out those packs or whatever you're going to have to do.
Yeah, I mean, and overall, like, what do you think, C-Rad? Do you think it's a good move? You think it's a...
I think it's, I mean...
You said it was, like, probably the best thing they could do?
I think it's a best-case scenario. Yeah. I mean, they could probably take it a step further and offer another superstar level autograph instead of Kobe.
Yeah, I mean, Doug and I were talking about it. Why the delay? It's been almost a year now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think there might have been some issues they had to work out with Kobe's estate.
Oh, absolutely.
Because if you've noticed, a lot of the products that came out after his passing,
yep,
there was no Kobe.
No
cards.
Kobe, nothing.
So I think
not even base cards.
So I think they needed to work something out with the estate and probably trying to explain to the estate, hey, like, there was a contract that we had, like, how can we basically work through this contract? Mm. And Panini came up with this as like a workaround. Honestly, it sucks for everybody who has, you know, redemptions that are outstanding. Panini didn't have to do this. They could have went like, hey, it was something that happened that was completely out of our hands.
Out of everybody's hands.
And
you know?
And it sucks for the consumer, but it sucks for Panini as a manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, Kobe's gone. They can't use Kobe in products anymore. Kobe was a substantial draw to every one of their releases.
Yep.
So I think it's a great thing that Panini did.
Yeah, and I guess it depends on what you like as a collector. Some people would like the guarantee of a card that's worth X amount of dollars, like say they replace it with like a Kawhi Leonard or something like that. Some people might rather have that. Some people would like the chase of, well, maybe my $200 Kobe, I get a pack and I get a 101 Zion, or I get the 101 Kobe, and now I just did better than I did with my single Kobe sticker auto that would have been in, you know, fast break or whatever it is, yeah. Right? So it is a tough situation. And it's also, honestly, I mean, it's the cheapest way for Panini to rectify the situation as well. Because let's face it, if they start giving out Kawhi Leonard autographs, or they start giving out if they start giving out like Zion rookie autographs, that's going to cost them a lot more. So
well, it's also going to take away from their current and new releases coming out.
Correct.
If they have a bunch of stickers of Kawhi Leonard, they probably have those set aside to be in X amount of products, right?
Yep. Yep.
If they take those, then that's going to hurt a lot of their products coming out. Same thing with the Zion auto. So this is a way that they can do it without having to use any autograph content. If I'm not mistaken, I don't think there's any autos in there. I think it's just parallels.
It's just parallels.
So yeah, they could actually release this without having to pull autograph content, which I think is the only way that they can financially do it.
Yeah, I mean, Max made a comment that he, you know, would rather have a prism set as opposed to a mosaic. And I get that argument as well, but I think they've
Patty.
I think they've ran out of prism, like parallels they can do. I know they've done mosaic stuff too, but maybe there's less mosaic parallels that they can print another mosaic parallel as opposed to. I mean, I feel like they don't do a lot with optic though. I mean, maybe optic could have been the solution there too, but I mean, mosaic's new. It's hot. It's hot in football right now as well. So I think that's why.
I'll be honest. I think they pushed it that with that clearly.
What if they did a
Oh, that's true.
And we talked about this. What if they did one card, like a one card encased kind of a clearly thing, where, mm-hmm. or not a clearly, but trying to think of a product that they have. It's the Panini one-on-one or whatever they're coming out with. It's just like mm-hmm. the Dynasty type. What if they did a kind of an opti-chromed over NT card, and it's just one card?
That would have been really popular.
And it's encased. Now, I mean, if it's like stamped to 99 and you have parallels of that, and they just use basically the whoever was in the base of the NT, so they wouldn't have to come up with a new design.
Yeah.
I mean, you have an opportunity to get some of the rookies. You have an opportunity to get some of the vets and legends and stuff like that. So
that's a good point. I mean, it also could, like, I look at it this way as an optimist. They could give you a wild card point. It could be like, we're sending out wild cards to all the people that had Kobe redemptions. So, I mean, like, it could be a lot worse. I look at it that way, too, right? Or it could be like, we're not doing anything. Sorry.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's right. I mean, the worst thing they can do is the we don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
And we're not going to do anything. I mean, Panini gets a lot of flack for, like, not doing anything for the customer and having terrible customer service. They really don't. I mean, I think this is a pretty stand-up thing for them to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like I said, it could be better. It could be worse as well. So,
in my opinion, like, from a consumer standpoint, if I had an outstanding Kobe redemption, like, I'm completely understanding. Like, hey, I may not get anything at all. So to see like them come out with something like this, I'd be excited to get a pack of this.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's gonna be fun. I'm gonna try to get some for an obscene amount. You know, just because I don't have any Kobe redemptions in the queue, but
probably buy some from the secondary market, right?
Yep. So I wanted to move on to some of the comments. There was some positive. There was some negative, of course. Probably more negative, but we picked some of the good comments. Well done, Panini, on Twitter. I think they did a good job, about as good as they could possibly do with the situation. Obviously not going to take another comment was obviously not going to take the place of a Kobe auto, but this is some incredible outside-of-the-box thinking, and they look awesome. And then some of the negatives. So you're telling me my $1,200 plus, make sure you put the plus in there, Kobe auto, instead of getting the card, I will be getting one pack that most likely will not be any good unless I get lucky and hit a top rookie card. It costs y'all basically nothing to print more cards, so I know why you're doing this. Also, I have about 100 other redemptions dating all the way back to 2006. I have asked about replacements tons of times. I still have not received anything. At the rate y'all redeem cards, I will be well over 1,000 years old by the time I get half of them. First off, I think the world record is about 130 years old. So if you live to 1,000, that's incredible. And you won't have to worry about cards. You'll be just making money. You'll be doing interviews with you and everything like that. So if you make it to 1,000, that's incredible. So,
super exaggeration.
Yeah.
Bro.
make it to 1,000.
Hundreds of redemptions.
Hundreds, yeah. He's probably got 5. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I mean, we're all there. I mean, there, you know, it's a tough situation with redemptions. It's mainly on the athletes. The guy below said, I feel much the same as Ryan. I've been waiting for over 200 redemptions, some for more than 12 years.
Oh, God.
Which I think Panini hasn't had the license that long. I think they came around in 2009, 10, maybe close. For more than 12 years, you have to realize Panini doesn't care about the collectors in the market any longer. They used to, but all they care about is raking in as much money as they can before the collapse of the market. They're are well on their way to doing that. As a card shop owner, I've witnessed their greed in taking away from distributors and thus hobby shops most of our allocations of products they now sell. Majority of these releases themselves instead of sending it to the market. After 30 plus years of running a shop, I can no longer fight for new products as they demand. Just way too tiring. We watched card products kill the market in the early 90s by being greedy, and now we are seeing it again.
So we know what his real issue is. It's not about this Kobe redemption at all.
It's allocation.
No. Yeah. It's he doesn't sell enough product. So what it boils down to, honestly, if you're selling product, you will get more products. At the end of the day, if you're selling little products, you won't get more product.
You could be a brand new account, and we've talked about this, and there's a price point for everything. You can be a brand new account, and if you had $1 million to spend on wax, somebody will sell it to you.
Yeah.
You can get it. Yeah. You absolutely 100% can get it. Now, are you going to be able to turn your $1 million into $10 million in a year? No. No, because
you'll be able to service your customers.
But you will be able to service your customers. But I'm just saying, like, there is a price point for everything, and we all sit here and talk about allocation, and we talk about it. Like, nobody feels like I want to know a current shop breaker, online retailer, that when a product gets released and they receive it, they're like, you know what, I got enough, I don't want any more. I'm happy.
Dude. No.
For like 2 years, that hasn't happened.
No.
They want to be like.
I mean, I remember getting shipments in 2016.
17 even.
17. And I remember going, oh, crap. I'm
we
like,
too many.
I'm all, this product's going to tank. Like when I'm opening up the, I'm opening up cases, I'm all stacking them up. I'm all, uh-oh. Sell it as fast as you can. It's going to tank.
Yeah.
And 2017 contenders. Just think about that
Prism
for a second.
Too.
Prism.
Yeah.
Think about
Optic
that.
Optic too.
Optic. I was doing inventory and I found a box. I'll say it right now. I don't know how long we've had it. 2017 Optic football. Wow. Conrad.
Guess that price.
How much do you think that box is? 2017 hobby box, not a case, hobby box. Of Donruss Optic.
I'm like $1,000 now?
$3,000.
Wow.
$3,000.
Wow.
Yeah. You can go back in the Wayback Machine. Conrad was doing 6 box optics
For $29.99.
For $29.39 a spot. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Crazy. Yep. Crazy. And
case.
Got some more negative comments, but I did want to address. Patty has a question. I did mean to jump in late, but I have a question for you guys regarding saturation. Do you think it hurts the market? So basketball, for example, they keep coming out with the same cards under different names. I think if the market was smaller, it would, absolutely. But I think we see so much demand right now that it's healthy enough to sustain all the releases they're coming out with.
Yeah.
But I can't tell you 10 years from now if clearly Donruss is going to be the one people want. I can't tell you if Optic Contenders is going to be the people, you know. So that is, you know, I can tell you that Prism's probably safe. I can tell you that National Treasures RPAs are probably safe. But it's, you know, it just depends on what people latch on to. But as of right now, people want to pay and buy these cards. There is less supply compared to the demand currently.
And I'll also add to that just a small thing is that, you know, that is generally a question that people has had every single year that I've been back in the hobby since 2013. And every year, like, they add more and more new SKUs, and it's still a question that gets asked. Like, is this too much? Is this too many different SKU? Like, is this too many products?
I mean, again, just been doing inventory, and there's too many. There's too many. There's too many. There's too many different variations of one release.
Right,
and that's what kills me. It's mm-hmm. the Panini Prism, Panini Fast Break Prism, Panini Prism Choice, Panini Prism Retail, Panini Prism Fanatic.
You may say that because you've been beaten down on the inventory aspect of it all, but
no, but
were any of those below original pre-sale?
No, they're not.
That's the point.
They're not, but from a collector who may not be hip to every single variation of that,
it's confusing.
How do I know the difference? Mm-hmm. I live and breathe this stuff, and I was asking you. I'm like, hey, what's that red select box? And you're like, I don't know. And I'm like, what's the green box? And you're like, I don't know.
It's probably because I'm the one that does the best.
I knew one was C-Mall. I knew one was hobby, but there's no.
It doesn't say on there.
But yeah. We do this literally every day of our lives, and we can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
I think that's where, like, we have too many. It's gone too far. We need to, like, just make more, if you need to, of one SKU. Make more select and don't make the T-Mall.
I disagree there. I disagree because then you have, you get a number of the golds to 700, you know, or 25 for that matter.
Yeah, but dude, I remember getting an RPA number to 1500. Oh, the good old days. Tops Platinum Baseball.
Yeah, I tell you what, it don't feel good though.
It doesn't
feel good when you look at it, how much that sells on eBay either.
No, but if it was it would not matter. If it's a Zion RPA number to 1500, it wouldn't matter. It still sell for stupid amounts.
No, but yeah. you're right in certain instances, but if they numbered silver prisms, they would sell for significantly less.
Oh yeah.
They should though. They should. I would love, I mean it would hurt the industry, but like if we numbered every silver prism, it would be like I have 73 out of 73,599.
Yeah, then it looks like wow, it's very common.
Oh. But if you want to know that, you want to break that down, go to BGS and go to PSA and look at their pop report.
Yeah, no, you can find
that's all that were graded.
Yeah.
That's all that was graded. Like, throw in your money. There's no doubt in my mind that there is, let's compare Topps Chrome basketball back in the day, like Kobe year or LeBron year, and Prism in the last couple years, like, say, Luka year and Zion year. There's no doubt that there's more silvers than there are base cards that were made in Topps Chrome.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, those, you got to think about it. For one, 03, 04, there was really very small action on eBay. There was very few commerce going on across the world. So they were basically printing to order. So if they had 75 shops across America that ordered 3 cases each, they made maybe double that amount, and they had some. So now they don't even probably print to order. They just print. I mean, we don't even take the order out of there. They just print. And it still is gone, and it still goes up. So, I mean, you can't you if you're looking at the business behind the business, and you're like, if you're Panini, I know it sucks from a hobbyist standpoint, but if this stuff is still selling, why not try to make more? I know that, like, once again, that's not my hobby cap. That is my business cap that is saying, if it's selling, why not make more? Why not create other SKUs like
the
Clearly
Donruss? And that is what happened in 1988.
It is.
It could happen. Look at that. I didn't even know. But
1988 pack.
That could happen again. It could happen again. We're on the path of it happening.
And that's
again.
Why I guess now, you have to educate on what, if you're looking at it from an investment, if you're investing in a big card, you need to look at which one you're buying and maybe not spend a lot on a clearly Donruss 101 as opposed to a Prism 101.
All manufacturers, and when we got into this 2010, like, they were pretty much all print to order. Pre-orders would come in, and they would base how much they're going to make on the pre-orders.
Yeah.
I think certain manufacturers still run that way for the most part.
Certain ones.
I think certain manufacturers are like, we literally can't print enough. And it comes to your point, like, it's a fine line. Like, where we're going to hit to a point where they're like, well, printed too much of that one.
Yeah, they're gonna find out.
There's no doubt in my mind that we are gonna find out. And I am
2014 Topps Chrome.
I'm gonna call it. We are gonna find out
how much is too much in the 2021 basketball. It, like, there's going to be a product where we're going to be like, that was too much.
I disagree.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to find out in this next basketball year.
We
either.
Will.
No, I mean,
mark my words, we will.
I think we're going to find out soon, like within the next few years. I just don't think it's going to happen next season.
2021 basketball.
I'm saying 21-22.
No, the 21-22 NBA
class
draft
is pretty good too, yeah.
Yeah, they're supposed to be really good compared to 2021.
And I don't want to be like a downer because I hope this doesn't happen, but like all signs point to possibly stuff not opening up across the you know, America
for the
until
next
like November-ish. So at that point, people are still going to be inside. So they're still going to be doing their hobbies. They're not going to be able to go to trips to Hawaii and all this other stuff, spend their money that way. So I think in that sense, for the next year, we're protected if that does happen. Like I said, I hope it doesn't happen because I have trips booked that I don't want, you know.
I'm trying to go places, bro.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm saying in a sense, the negative of COVID has propelled this industry where it's at. And if COVID continues and keeps us indoors, people are going to be playing the new Xbox or they're going to be buying cards. I mean, how many more people came in because they're at home looking at Instagram and seeing their buddy pull a $10,000 card or hearing the story about the LeBron that sold for $1.8 million or hearing the story about the Honus Wagner that we talked about last week that sold for over $1 million.
Or Charizard selling for $200,000.
Yeah, and Pokemon Box is selling for $200,000. So if we're going to be kind of stuck indoors, I think that's going to help the 2021 rookie class in a sense.
I think we are going towards the whole pandemic as a reason why the card industry just shot through the roof. It was already shooting through the roof
as soon as Zion dropped.
Yeah.
Well before. I don't think the pandemic really affected where the card market was going to go anyway.
Yeah.
I think it was going to go up maybe a little bit because people were inside, but I don't really think we can say that for certainty that that's why, because everything was going up. So
we're looking
at the same type of deal right now with football.
Yeah.
Football gets released. Everything's going up. Mm-hmm. Baseball. I don't know. Next year's baseball. Bowman's going to be good. Bowman is always good. Bowman draft this year is going to be good. People are going to speculate. It's going to be fine. But products after that, the Heritage, that was actually getting cut and allocated at one point.
Yep.
I can't see what is going to be the draw in 2021 or I guess it'd be 2021 Heritage. What would be the draw? And that's going to be an early release. I mean, that's probably going to be released sometime in like February or March.
But I think to your point, and we got a few more Kobe comments to read. I know we got off on a little bit of a tangent here. But, I mean, to your point, though, I think the rookie classes are justifying the prices, too. I mean, you've got literally right now, we're going to get into it at the end of the show, Tua, Herbert, and Burrow. I mean, it reminds me of 2012, but on steroids, where you had RG3, Luck, and Wilson, right? You've got three quarterbacks that are performing, and then you have receivers that are performing. I mean, it's not like we're like snake oil salesmen and we're selling 2020 football products with no rookie performing. There's a lot of rookies performing, and it's kind of the perfect storm from the Zion Morant transition to this. But a few more comments from the negative folks on the Kobe Mosaic situation. Somebody said, I can't wait to get a scratched or dented mosaic. So, you know, very pessimistic
very,
view there.
Very original.
Yep. I'm sure Panini is keeping a ton for future products, a ton meaning a ton of Kobe autos. I mean, they have the last Kobe autos in the world. Do you think they're giving that up? I think everything gets used at Panini at some point. Imagine sending in Kobe Redemption and getting a Jackson Hayes card in return. ..
Hey,
it's a possibility.
Jackson Hayes ain't that bad.
This one I can't even dissect. It should probably be on the grammar scammers. It says, you wouldn't have to worry about expired redemptions if you'd just get the damn cards made. Stop with the bull. .. Panini Rewards and the 50% value is you trying to cheat people and get away with it. Just make the cards just forge them then, I guess, right? Just forge the autographs. It's just have somebody in the office. Just maybe Tracy Hackler. Maybe start having practice. Having them practice it. Just make it, you know. Just or pull
just
it out of your keister.
Damn card, man.
Just pull it out of your keister.
Don't put that on Tracy.
Oh, I'm just saying. That's what this guy thinks. That's not my point of view. Just say, just make the damn card. Just fake the autographs, I guess. The guy can't sign because he's busy playing the sport. But hey, just make it somehow. But they did
never,
do that.
You're never gonna. I mean, the thing is this is kind of the problem with social media. I talk about it all the time. I mean,
there's a social dilemma,
dude.
Yeah,
you don't have to think before you start typing. You don't have to.
See, and I do that too much. I don't know about you guys, but I'll like type something out and I'll reread it and I'll be like, nah. And then I'll delete. Type something out and be like, nah, delete. Really, and then sometimes I do that
with text messages. I'll be like, type. No. Type. No. And then I just go, you know what? I'm just not going to put.
Yes, that's what I do.
I'm not going to respond.
Yeah, because then I'm like, sometimes I'll be like, I can't even articulate my point through this, so I'm not going to respond. I am a massive proofreader of my stuff. If I spell something wrong, I try to delete, I get pissed at myself. And
social media, like, I haven't done a post for ever. Like, I don't have anything important to say. Obviously, a lot of other people do have some very important things to say.
I think you should take a picture and exactly. They got a lot of important stuff to say. I think you should take a picture and post yourself in the jacket. Put right on your front page. Change your profile pic, dude.
It's time to update that.
Update that, dude. Put it. Maybe,
dude. Last time I was messing around on Facebook. I didn't know you had like a profile picture. And then you had like the background photo.
Background picture. Mm-hmm.
And I changed it, and I just had like a bunch of people commenting on it. And that's exactly why I don't do social media. Because I'm like, what did I do? I don't want to do this.
People love you, man, on social media. But, you're big on there, dude.
But I'm not, though. I'm not. I think they're just like, oh, crap, he's actually saying something. Like, I thought his account was, like, deactivated.
It's a real guy? I thought it was
a real guy.
All your Facebook friends got excited. They're like, dang, Dan's active now. Let's get it.
I should just, like, because I've been talking. I'm like, oh, man, I got to get on the Instagram, figure it out. Nah, and then I'm like, maybe I should like talk about my life on Facebook. Nah, and then I'm like, maybe I should create a Twitter like Doug has and troll people. Nah,
it's fun.
But now, I mean, I look at Max. Maybe I should do a little TikTok or whatever,
and see
if I could start doing some dance. Start doing some dance moves and
oh, man.
You gotta get the guy that does the what are the shoes with the wheel on it, the Heely guy. You could do the Heely NASCAR jacket guy, dude, and just kind of go around town and film yourself.
Have you ever tried those Heelys?
I have not either,
and I didn't know those were still around. Are they coming back?
Probably not, but this guy has a bunch of videos of him doing tricks and stuff on the
you know what I might start doing again. Bad timing now because it's like hitting the winter, but might have to do a little aggressive inline skating. Remember that?
Oh, grinding.
Find
a pole, put the wax on it.
Yeah, you know.
There's a movie from the '90s that I love. That is about like the inline skating. You guys remember that one?
I mean, you just basically go out, get some super baggy jeans.
So. What was it called?
The movie was about a guy that had to move to California, or no, he was from California, and then he moved to like Wisconsin or something because he was like doing bad in school, so his family. And then it's the other way around. He was originally from Wisconsin and he moved to California because he was like a hockey player, right? Mm-hmm. Where it was snowing a lot. And then in California.
Not a lot of hockey.
Yeah,
in
there's not a lot of hockey going in California.
Not a lot of ponds.
He got into the local like inline skating like community and then like
gang.
And then they did the big race where they're going down the hill. You guys don't remember that movie?
I actually do remember that. I think I do remember that because I.
Was it
that,
called Fruit Bootin'?
Oh, dude. You know, I used to date myself a little bit. I used to rollerblade in high school.
But you're married.
There was always like a clash between skaters and rollerbladers.
Yeah, it was.
And they like did not like rollerbladers. Skaters were like, and they had a weapon.
Skaters
like what are you gonna if you're rollerblading, like what do you do? Take one off, start swinging at it?
No, they'll never catch you. You're much faster on the rollerblades.
That is true. Yeah. That is true. Have you ever seen a skateboarder try to catch somebody on rollerblades?
Can't.
Never works. Never works.
Get winded. actually, Patty's got a good idea. It says wear the jacket and bring a big glass of milk, and then you'll go viral. I actually got a better idea. You could do the longboard with the Fleetwood Mac, and then you could just pour it on your head while you're longboarding. with the, you know, the, you know, the memory song or whatever, the Fleetwood Mac song.
That was already done.
On your head with the NASCAR jacket
on. It on your head.
Like, you know, like you're celebrating what you're on a longboard, and then if you fell, then it would be America's Most Funniest Home Videos.
Now you
got
to find the next song to go viral. You got to pick original song.
Cranberry juice on my head? Is what are you saying?
No, the milk.
Dude,
I know it's not NASCAR, but it's racing, okay? I get it. Well, then just put some beer in your face.
I mean, if you want to do it right, crack open a tall can of Busch Light.
Just shotgun a little beer.
Do a little Stone Cold.
Yep. Shotgun him. All right, moving on. We got a Luis Roberts Super Fractor that's going to hit and make an auction debut. It's the non-auto version, and it's going to be hitting the Fall Classic auction at Leland. And it's going to schedule to run through December 11th. PSA 10 graded by PSA, so the guy obviously chose the right company to grade with. And it's going to hit the auction block. What do you guys think? What do you think this sells for?
Well, hopefully my card goes for a lot.
Your card?
Yeah.
That's yours?
Yep.
You tell me something? Give me a cut?
No, why are you laughing?
You sent it to Leland's out of all people, huh?
Who?
Exactly. No, seriously, what do you guys think? Super Fractor, it's the first Bowman. Non-auto.
Non-auto, okay.
PSA 10.
Because we saw the auto version sell last year, right?
Right, so that's why I wanted to bring that up, too. As you can see in the next slide, that one sold for $51,000. But that was a year ago.
Obviously, his value's up.
Man, I remember doing this.
Yes, and I was the one that said
it
was a good deal.
I remember doing this show.
And you were just calling it crazy.
And I was like, you guys are absolutely nuts. I'm like, 20 grand max. And
that person could probably flip that for at least 40,000 profit.
This dude hit a 230.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that. And he did not win AL Rookie of the Year.
He's more electric than Kyle Lewis. I know Kyle Lewis is a better player, but he is more electric. He has more of a chance of being the face of baseball. He did win a Gold Glove in his rookie year. How many rookies have done that? Gold Glover. The Gold Glover, Luis Robert, 233. And that was 1 month. That was one bad month.
One bad month out of two.
Yeah.
A two-month season, and he had half of it was terrible.
I think this is at least a $25,000 to $30,000 card. I think that's what – it may actually sell for $50,000, which would be ironic.
Wait. What did you just say?
$20,000 to $25,000.
I think it's
a 50. For a non-auto.
Yeah.
Just a non-auto. Is it a 9?
It's 10? A 10. It's a 10. Gem. It's gem.
Gem and 10.
How much? $25,000?
I think it's $25,000.
So you basically, like, you walk in, you see that at a local card shop in the glass case. Hypothetically, could happen.
Won't be there, but yeah.
You're like, I got 25 grand for you right now. Let me give you this. I believe in this kid.
I'm not saying I would buy it for 25 grand, but I say I'm sure there's plenty of other people that love him that will pay that much money for it.
For a non-auto.
Yeah, it's a 101. It's the second best card of his ever made. There will not be another base card better than that card. That is the best card. So I think that the one of one auto now is 100K. So this makes it.
Give me a break.
Look at the auctions. We throw stupid numbers. 100K. I mean, yeah, it's a lot of money.
230. So that's what he hit.
Dan, do you think
he hit 230? You cannot. He won a Gold Glove. Big deal. Byron Buxton. Winning Gold Gloves.
Yeah, but he's played a lot longer. A lot longer.
Yeah, do you think the auto that sold for 50K last year, do you think that sells for 50? It would sell for 50K now?
I think it would sell for more.
My point.
But I don't think it should.
Yeah.
I think that people are out there who would speculate and go based solely on exit velocity.
Well, because last year.
Batting average, which I think batting average is pretty important.
Yeah, last year, like you had a point because he hadn't played yet, right? But this year, you've got to see him play.
Yeah, and he's good, but I don't think in 3 years we're going to be like, he is a top-tier player, top-five player in the league. I don't think we're going to be there. I don't think that's where he's at. Unless he can figure out he needs to hit 300. He needs to hit 300 to be considered 330 to 340 home runs a year.
I got actually a giveaway we're going to do on this. So we're going to give away a box of Gold Label Baseball. I want you guys to comment on the Mojo Break Media content of this. If you're watching it live, don't comment here. When we post it to our Mojo Media channel, which you need to subscribe as well, guess the price. Whoever gets closest will win the box of Gold Label. We're going to accept because this is going to run scheduled to run through December 11th. So,
also got some time.
So yeah, just we're going to cut off the picks at in December. So December 1st, any votes after that doesn't count. So, but give away Gold Label. Put your guess on there. Whoever's closest will nominate a winner. I think this will be a fun little contest. So box of Gold Label. Tell your friends. Get everybody involved. Make sure you guys subscribe to our Mojo Break Media channel where we do more content as well. We have our Mojo Break Blitz. We have our dugout sessions. We have other videos on there as well. But, yeah, I want to see what people think. I want to see if somebody nails it. Gets it right on the button there. So, but they're saying they expect to sell for a five-figure price, which, you know, not a six-figure, but a five-figure price. So. I would be surprised if it gets to 50K. I literally would not be surprised. I know you would be surprised, but I will not be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised. I would be disappointed.
You would be disappointed in baseball collectors
everywhere. I'd be disappointed in baseball collectors everywhere. Actually, not everywhere. One in particular.
Yeah, one guy.
Just one person.
No, because there's other
people. Well, yeah. Whoever was in the room bidding it up. Yeah. Whoever's like putting in the bids, killing me.
So what do you think from just because you've seen him play now, what would you legitimately, like, in your opinion, you would price that card at as a good investment price to buy that for?
10 grand.
10 grand?
That's still five figures.
I think that's still fair.
Ten grand, and I think if he does become a better player than he is, I'm not sold on him. But I think he needs to strike out less. He needs to hit for better average.
Well, there's also, you know, I didn't even think about.
I think it could be a $20,000 card, but he has to put together 2 to 3 years of all-star caliber numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it this way: we are in the what we call the parallel era. What if this card is viewed as a better card than the auto? I know that's not traditional for Bowman collectors, but non-ink PSA, that appeals to the parallel era of collectors. They don't want ink on their cards. So that's, I think that will drive it up a little bit more than you would think as a true Bowman. You guys have been listening to us or been breaking with us for the last 5, 6, 7, 10 years. You want the auto. I want the auto. These guys want the auto. But the new collector, I don't know.
I
might want the non-auto
version. I don't think that's the baseball collector's mentality. I don't know if it's going to change.
Yeah, we'll see.
The baseball collector is more of a speculation and the long play, where basketball is and football are more of the short play investment.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Well, we'll move on to another debate that we can have here, and you guys can chime in on this.
Yes,
we've got three rookie quarterbacks that are exceeding expectations, I would say, at least mine. Joe Burrow, Tua, and Justin Herbert. I want to say a hypothetical here. Say somebody gave you $20,000 to invest in their cards. Which guy are you choosing and why? That's what I want to know. So I want to hear you guys' comment in the chat. Comment on the video here on Mojo Break Media as well on who you would invest in. And let's say it's a long-term investment. Let's say it's not a quick flip. Let's say it's a guy that you're going to at least hold on to for at least 5 years and you have that amount of money to spend on him. And you can only pick one. I know you could diversify, but let's just say you're only given one choice. Who are you picking? So I would see Rad.
I'm going with Tua Tagovailoa. And my reasoning is because, one, I think the Miami is a franchise has been proven to be, even though they have, you know, didn't win Super Bowls with Dan Marino, they have been proven to be a franchise that can put together winning seasons compared to maybe I know there's rumors coming out that they're like trying him out this year and they're thinking about going after another quarterback next year. But from what I've seen in two games, Tua's looked pretty good and somebody that can carry that franchise. I like that he is unorthodox. He throws with his left hand. He's mobile as well. And you know, it was scary at first for him coming out of that injury from college last year. So it was really a lot of unknowns. But after seeing him two games now, And, you know, getting more confident. I mean, I think those other two guys are incredible as well, but I'm going to go long-term Tua if I'm going to pick one guy to spend my money on.
I'm going with Joe Burrow. I just think that the college career that he had, the amount of yards he's throwing. I know the Bengals, you know, who was the last big Bengal prospect that we've collected? Maybe A.J. Green. I don't know. Maybe Jeremy Hill one year. There hasn't been a Bengal that people have collected, but I think that does change. I think with some weapons, with some good draft picks, with some free agents coming over to Cincinnati, I think they put together a couple winning seasons. I think the Steelers are getting a little I mean, they're obviously great now, but, you know, Tomlin's probably going to retire at some point. Big Ben's going to move on in life. I know the Ravens are in that division too, but I think the Ravens and Bengals are going to be competing to win that division. So I'm going with Joe Burrow. I think he throws the long ball well. He puts the stats up. And I think he has the most, he has the easiest path to breaking some of those all-time records that are in front of him with, like, the Montana, the Breeze, the Marino, the Peyton Manning stuff.
All right. And this show is completely unscripted. I'm going Justin Herbert.
That's funny.
Because it's funny because I had no idea we were even going to talk about this topic. Doug probably knew where I was going, but he probably didn't know where Seabat was going.
No, you didn't.
I did not.
Yeah.
Herbert, the poise he's shown as a rookie, doesn't make a lot of mistakes. Super pro ready, only going to get better. He has shown a lot of confidence in even being behind in games. He's been able to have his team come back. They hasn't always finished a job, but he doesn't have, besides having couple of good receivers on his team. I mean, Keenan Allen's one of the best in the league, and Mike Williams has a chance to be one of the best in the league, but just hasn't seemed to put it together yet. But their defense has been pretty banged up. Their running backs, they can't seem to stay healthy.
I was just
either.
Thinking, imagine if they had like LaDainian Tomlinson in his prime right now, coupled with Herbert.
Be nasty.
What I've seen from, and the reason why I'm going Herbert, what I've seen from Burrow is that he's going to be a good quarterback. He would be like probably the second guy I would pick out of the three. He has there's going to be some growing pains with Burrow. He tends to make some pretty bonehead reads, and he'll turn the ball over. Tua, my knock on Tua is he going to be able to stay healthy?
Yeah,
he had some injury issues
That's
in college.
Fair.
I think
huge injury.
I think for the short term flip though, I would go Tua.
I was just gonna say that too.
Tua is
quicker path to wins
on a better team, poised to make the playoffs, where the Chargers and the Bengals are not gonna make the playoffs. But for the long play, 100% Herbert.
You know, it's funny, you've got East Coast, West Coast, and kind of Midwest going on here too. So you've got both coasts represented. You know, I know Buses in the chat is a Miami homer, but you act like the Miami's like the Yankees of football here. They're not. I mean, yeah, they have the one undefeated season. That's about the only time you hear the Dolphins mentioned on national broadcast here on the West Coast is that, you know, when the Steelers lose this year, the Dolphins can all raise their glass
But he has a point, though. The Dolphins are pretty active in the free agency market every year.
They've proven that they can win, man.
And they
maybe not the whole thing, but they can win.
I mean, players like to go. They like to go play in Florida,
bro. Florida, Miami.
And there's no taxes, right? There's
yeah,
no
I mean
taxes.
That definitely financially that definitely does help.
It's
mean,
hard
they
to turn down Miami.
I remember they didn't they sign Ndamukong Suh after after his he got a big contract from them after the Lions. So they definitely can put some pieces around him. I think Tua is the short term play. I think Herbert's the long term play.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that. I think yeah, exactly.
What is it about Burrow that you like so much?
In general,
fan of Home Alone.
I think
as I mentioned last week.
Dude, I think to what you were saying, Dan, like how he like sometimes doesn't make the greatest reads and stuff. It's also due to the fact he's a lot of times, like, if you watch their games, he's, like, running for his life. So it's like.
Yeah, I mean, offensive line.
They can't protect them at
offensive
all.
Offensive line has a lot to do it. And I think if you probably ranked the offensive line between those three, Tua probably has the best offensive line.
Yep.
and then you would probably say
and
Herbert,
the best defense right now too.
Herbert and Burrow. I mean, Burrow, his offensive line's tough, and you're right. Like, he hikes the ball, and he not only is trying to find a passing lane, but he's also trying to run from, you know, defensive ends that are trying to track him down constantly. And he's pretty good on the run. I mean, he can throw on the run. So can Herbert. Actually, all three of those quarterbacks are definitely the new age of quarterbacks coming in. Where
absolutely changing the guard.
I mean, they're not like burners like Kyler or Lamar, but they definitely can run and they could extend plays with their legs.
Yep.
Where. The guy, I mean, even like a Jared Goff is not very mobile. They try to move him out, but like Jared Goff isn't going to run for many first downs. He can run to, like, you know, maybe prolong a play a little bit.
Yeah.
Same thing with like Jimmy Garoppolo. He's not going to be running for first downs a lot, but you gotta be elusive in the pocket somewhat.
Yep.
I think.
Yeah.
Now.
In this day and age, yeah.
And a couple of sales recently. You got a Tua Gold autograph that sold for $4,900. You have a Joe Burrow 1/1 Spectra that sold for $6,600. And a PSA 10 Gold, Black Gold Choice, 8/8 of Justin Herbert selling for $10,000. It actually looks like Justin Herbert's cards are selling for more at the moment.
Yeah, I think he's the highest right now.
Yeah, initially it was Burrow, and now it seems to be Herbert. But so we're running out of time. I did want to mention, you know, because in lieu of Tua being a left-handed quarterback, which I know you guys are all – I'm a fellow left-hander, but I know you guys were watching football just like everybody else. And go, that's kind of weird how he goes to that one side and throws it, you know, with his left hand. I wanted to go over some of the bigger left-handed athletes to ever play their sports. You got Wayne Gretzky, you know, the great one. You've got James Harden, and you've got the great Barry Bonds. But when it comes to quarterbacks, really hasn't been a long lineage of left-handed players. You've got Steve Young, probably the greatest left-handed player of all time. You've got Mark Brunell. I don't know what you could say about Mark Brunell, serviceable starter for the Jaguars with Fred Taylor used.
He brought the Jags to an AFC championship
That's
game.
That's true. He did.
That was funny, though.
But I want to hear you guys' pick a favorite left-hander of all time. You know, you get them more in baseball, I think, than you get in the other sports. Mm-hmm. But watching Tua, it's funny to watch him roll out the other way and throw off of his other foot and throw with that other hand. It definitely looks a difference. So, but that's all we got for today's show. I would like to thank you guys for tuning in. Follow us at MojoBreak _com for breaks on Twitter. Also, we have our MojoBreak media channel, which is at MojoBreakM. Same on Instagram as well. And make sure you hit subscribe here, as well as our MojoBreak media channel as well. So, and make sure you enter in on that giveaway, that gold label giveaway. Make your guess on that Luis Robert Superfractor price. But that's all we got. Peace.